Hi, everyone, and welcome to the State of State Schools podcast. I'm your host, John Stamper, Christian author, former homeschooler, and former public school teacher. Once a week, I'll give a quick recap of the most important headlines in education and pull back the curtain on what's really happening in our kids' schools. If you're a teacher, parent, or homeschool family, this podcast is for you. Thanks for listening, and let's get started. Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode number 64. Today's date is September 19th, 2024. Before we get going on this episode, I want to let everyone know my second book is coming out next week on September 25th. It's called Courage to Stand, Profiles of Enduring Faith. If you're a Christian family and you like to do family devotionals, you have your own personal Bible study, or maybe you have a teen who's maybe homeschooling and they want to supplement their Bible curriculum or history curriculum, I think this would be an awesome book for all of those reasons. So I encourage you to swing by masterbooks.com and search for Courage to Stand. You can also visit my website, johnstamper.org, and find the link there. It'll also be available on Amazon. Now, in this episode, I'm going to discuss three different topics, but really, they're all kind of about the same thing. And that is, when the government has control of education, it always tries to systematically remove the parents from the equation. And one of the major tools used to accomplish that is funding. If the government can control the funding of education, then they can control education. Government officials have this mindset that children belong to the state and not to the parents. Kamala Harris just said a day or so ago that, quote, "The children of the community are the children of the community," meaning they're all our kids, like the children belong to the teacher, the school, or the village, so to speak. This is not just a national trend or effort, but a global effort. It's happening around the world. And this is not limited to public schools, as some of you might think, but it applies to homeschooling as well. So let me give you some examples. The first example is something called Initiative 138. What is Initiative 138? Well, it's a Colorado bill on the constitutional right to school choice, which has already been voted on, and it was passed earlier this year. Alex Newman discussed this on one of his recent episodes of his podcast, Behind the Deep State, which you should definitely check out. This bill basically allows every single student, every single family in Colorado to use school choice funds, government money, to fund their education. That means public school, private school, homeschool, doesn't matter. Everyone can use the same funds under this bill. Hey, that sounds nice. It sounds fair, right? Well, not so much. So right now in Colorado, the public schools are publicly funded, which means they're controlled by the state government. Private schools and homeschools are privately funded, which means they're not controlled by the state government. So funding, keyword, funding is how the government gets control of education, through public funding. That's the difference. It comes down to where the money is coming from, public or private. And that's really what this Colorado bill, Initiative 138, is all about, trying to allow private schools and homeschools to use public funds, school choice funds. I'm talking about school choice here, really. So the government can gain control of and regulate private schools and homeschools, right? If those private school homeschool families accept these school choice funds. So that means all you families who decided to homeschool because you saw how crazy or ungodly the public schools are, that same government system is trying to trap you again with quote unquote free money. And if they succeed, it'll be a trap you won't be able to escape because there'll be nowhere else to run. It says in the bill itself that, quote, Initiative 138 creates the right to school choice in the Colorado Constitution. Now notice the language, creates the right to school choice. That's important because, oh, if I have a constitutional right, then I need to fight for this. It continues, the new language gives K-12 children the right to school choice and equal opportunity to access a quality education. So more buzzwords, equal opportunity, quality education. But what exactly does quality education mean? And who gets to define that? And if it's a right for kids to use government funding and homeschool parents don't want to use government funding, is their homeschooling now considered not a quality education? Are parents violating the rights of their own children? And if so, will the state step in and decide what's best for the kids, regardless of what the parents want? So you see how quickly and how easily we can slide into that terrible situation? The bill continues, quote, "The measure also creates the right of parents to direct the education of their children." Oh, so this bill creates the right of parents to direct the education of their children? Yeah, this bill giveth and this bill taketh away. So you see what these government officials and legislators think of parents? They give and create your rights, not God, but the government. And if they can create and give you your rights, they can just as easily take away and destroy your rights as well. The bill goes on, quote, "The measure defines school choice to include both public and private schools, homeschools, open enrollment options, and future innovations in education," end quote. So, the goal of this Initiative 138 is to bring all forms of education, public, private, homeschool, even future innovations, bring them all under state control. And it's all done under the guise of a constitutional right to school choice. So when people hear constitutional right, they think, oh, I need this thing. I need this right. It's my right. I got to have school choice now. So this school choice bill and virtually every other school choice bill like it was created to reach the same end, which is to bring every child, every family under the umbrella of government-run education. And that's accomplished by controlling funding. So even if you're not in Colorado, watch out for this type of language, this type of legislation in your own state. This is not conspiracy theory stuff. This is a real bill. It was passed. This is what it says. This type of thing has already happened in Arizona, which was the first state to implement universal school choice about a decade or so ago. Arizona was once considered the model for school choice, and a bunch of states copied the Arizona model. But fast forward a decade and look where Arizona is now. The homeschooling population has actually decreased by 10%. Once homeschool families started using school choice funds, aka government money, to pay for their homeschool curriculum, guess what happened? Curriculum prices skyrocketed, and then the new liberal governor pushed to create more regulation, more oversight, more auditing, more conformity with the homeschoolers. Shocker. This is what the government is good at, jacking up prices, ruining the quality of everything, and on top of that, making you less free. So did that quote-unquote free school choice money really make things better or more affordable for families? No, because curriculum providers simply raised costs because they knew the government would foot the bill. The same thing happened with healthcare and college tuition. As soon as the government starts to subsidize something, prices go up, quality goes down, and the government gets more and more control. So in the end, families were left with less freedom, more government regulations, higher costs, less choice, and higher taxes. And we shouldn't look at this as a school choice failure, because this is what school choice does. This is actually a school choice success story. Government control only goes in one direction. It increases and increases, never decreases. Homeschoolers should not want to bring government regulation into their homes. And school choice will swing that door wide open for that to happen. Story number two. In the fall of 2022, Montgomery County Schools in Maryland, I've talked about this school district quite a bit, Montgomery County Schools in Maryland introduced for the first time LGBTQ+ inclusive storybooks for elementary school students. And it wasn't just storybooks for story time. The teachers also received teaching guides to make sure their 4 and 5-year-old students got a full dose of homosexual and transgender indoctrination. For example, here's what the students were required to do as part of their school day. One book in particular was called Pride Puppy, which apparently shows a gay cartoon puppy leading a pride parade along with a crowd of drag queens and people dressed up in fetish gear. And by the way, this book was designed specifically for 3 and 4-year-olds. So, after being led through this book by their teacher, these children, who have no idea what they're looking at because they're 4 years old, were required to identify objects like underwear, leather, lip rings, drag queens, drag kings, and even a famous prostitute. Another book described how one girl chose to become a boy. And when the girl's brother in the story said that girls can't become boys. He was scolded by his mother and told, not everything has to make sense, and that being trans is all about love. The teacher guy said that if any students push back against the trans narrative, that those students should be taught that it's hurtful to disagree, and then the student's thought process should be disrupted. Now, this really happened and is still happening. Now, you may think, there's no way all these parents at the school would allow this stuff to happen. And you're right. A group of parents did push back on the school board, and they were given the right to opt their kids out of such lessons. But that decision was reversed one day later. So parents no longer had permission to opt their own children out of these lessons or to protect them from this sexually perverted indoctrination. And frankly, it's child abuse. The state made that decision for the kids and for the parents. Parents had no right to interfere. So, parents filed a federal lawsuit against the school board, but it was denied by a panel of just three judges. So, three individuals decided what was best for thousands of parents, thousands of students in the district. That parent group has now appealed to the Supreme Court, so we'll have to wait and see what happens there. But stop and wrap your mind around this whole scenario. The district is completely saturating 3-, 4-, 5-year-olds with abject sexual perversion, right? Gay puppies, leather fetish apparel, drag queens, prostitutes. And parents are given absolutely no say in the matter, no voice, no opt-out, no respect whatsoever. But the thing is, these parents are suing just to have the right to opt out of these LGBTQ lessons. Apparently, they're just fine with their kids being in that school for the rest of the day, the same teachers, with the same counselors, same principal, same school board. They're only fighting for the opt-out. They're actually fighting to stay in this system. Now, the school has made it abundantly clear what their priorities are, and parental rights, even parental involvement, are not on the list. So why are they fighting to stay in a system like this? That's why I say get out while you can. And if you do homeschool or choose a private school, I suggest you don't accept school choice funds, because just like I talked about with Initiative 138 in Colorado, you'll be agreeing to being ruled by the exact same woke policies, and you'll be subject to the exact same government oversight and regulation as the public schools you so desperately fled. Your homeschool, in your living room, sitting at your kitchen table, you'll be required to teach the same perverted, godless material that you just left. Finally, I want to briefly discuss Homeschool Hub. I've talked about Homeschool Hub before, but I think it's worth revisiting. Homeschool Hub was created at Johns Hopkins, the public health grad school. So why is a public health institute, reaching into homeschooling? Well, let's find out. First of all, if you visit the link that I shared on this episode's page, you'll go to edchoice.com. Now, EdChoice is a very prominent educational resource and outlet. They actually fund Homeschool Hub. And guess what? Homeschool Hub really advocates for school choice. So the article begins by pointing out that the number of homeschool families nearly quadrupled during COVID. That's millions and millions of students that left the government system. Now, that sounds great to people like me, but to bureaucrats, politicians, they're not happy to see these families fleeing their system. So, who funds Homeschool Hub? Well, it's funded in large part by folks like Bill Gates, Jeb Bush, Betsy DeVos, big-time Common Core, school choice advocates, and globalists, really. So, okay, that's weird, but what does Homeschool Hub actually do? Well, Homeschool Hub says that it was created to help state policymakers and quote-unquote other stakeholders understand how homeschooling has changed the educational landscape. So they don't exist to help homeschool families. They exist to help policymakers and quote-unquote other stakeholders. They love to use that word, stakeholders, another buzzword. But hey, don't worry, guys, because Homeschool Hub promises it's nonpartisan. It's reliable. They're completely unbiased. Now, that's odd given that it's funded by a bunch of Common Core school choice globalists. So, yeah, reliable, unbiased, sure. So the purpose for the Homeschool Hub is to shape state policy for homeschooling. That's their purpose. And what could go wrong with that? I mean, what homeschool family doesn't want a bunch of globalists telling them what they can teach their own kids? Yikes. I say all this because so many people are homeschooling now, and that can't be ignored. So people like Bill Gates, who's entrenched in the UN and its 2030 agenda, they got to get involved. Now, reminder, the UN's or UNESCO's 2030 agenda is determined to govern all non-state schools. That's their goal. They want to govern all non-state schools, which means private schools and homeschoolers. They want to bring you under state control to impose their equity goals, their accountability standards, their globalist worldview, radical ideology. That's not my opinion. That's what they wrote themselves. The 2030 agenda says that the state is the duty bearer of education, not the parents, but the state, and that no school is exempt from being required to teach the centralized standards. What are those centralized standards? They create them, they make them, they enforce them. All right, say that again. The state is the duty bearer, and no school will be exempt from teaching their centralized standards. That's not a system we want. So the Homeschool Hub, in my opinion, is not reliable. They're not nonpartisan, and it's not unbiased. The recurring theme in this episode is more state control, centralized standards, radical ideology being forced on children, no parental rights, using free money to trap families in the system. So beware. Pay attention to the buzzwords in your school or your community or your state legislature. Pay attention to the platitudes and warm and funny statements politicians make about education and school choice in particular. Things like constitutional right to school choice, or they're all our kids, or the children in the community belong to the community. Look into these programs like School Choice and Homeschool Hub and see who's running things. More importantly, find out who's funding things. If you do this, I'm confident you'll want to flee the government school system and never look back. And that means leaving behind their free money as well, aka the cheese in the mousetrap. If you want to learn more about this kind of stuff, I suggest you listen to a couple podcasts. First, Behind the Deep State with Alex Newman. Second, Refining Rhetoric with Robert Bortons of Classical Conversations. Those guys are awesome, and I think you'll learn a lot. That's all I have for you guys in this episode. That's the State of State Schools. Take care.